Well, if you were here with us last week, we started on a little series that we're doing on measuring our spiritual maturity. How do we measure our spiritual maturity? And last week we talked about faith. We talked about having a mature faith. How do you know when your faith is mature? How it's strong? Well, there are many ways that you can tell, but one of the ways you can tell for sure is that you always come out on top. You always come out on top with faith. And through your trials, through your testings, you go to the Word of God. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It comes by hearing the Word of Christ. It comes when we say words of faith. It comes when we think words of faith. It comes when we see with God's eyes. It comes when we hear with God's ears. There are many ways that our faith is developed, and it's developed by use. Just like a muscle that has to be used, faith has to be exercised. So it's exercised in your prayers. It's exercised in your hope. It's exercised in the words you confess. If you're always talking negative and always being discouraged and verbalizing all of the things that are wrong in the world and verbalizing everything that's bad, that's not speaking faith. I'm not talking about, you know, name it and claim it. You know, I believe I'm a millionaire. I'm not talking about that. That's abuse. That's not the proper use of faith. The proper use of faith is like what David said to Goliath. Somebody say amen. He said to Goliath, you come against me with a sword and a spear and a javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord God Almighty. You may be a big giant, but I've got the Lord God of Israel on my side. That's words of faith. And it's truth. He was speaking the truth and using the Word of God as a shield, the shield of faith. Somebody say amen. Faith must be developed in these times. Very important, the time we're living, to have a grown-up faith. I'm just going to tell you as plainly as I can that if your faith is not grown up, it's going to be very hard as the world gets more difficult. The more difficult the world becomes, the more we have to exercise our faith. You know, on the other side of the world, there are people who have experienced persecution, churches being shut down, being burned, Christians put in jail, Christians being killed. Don't you think that they have to use their faith to believe that something good is coming, that the best is yet to come? Imagine the faith that they have to use compared to what we have here in America. Come on now. Somebody who's in, you know, a third world country or in the Middle East where, you know, Christian faith, or in China or in Russia where they're shutting down churches and people are being thrown in jail, even in places like Nigeria and Syria and other places. We've got to use our faith, folks. We have to be grown up. You know, you don't take a five-year-old child and sit there and lecture him about why he can't drive a car. You don't lecture him about why he spilled his milk, you know, and you don't give him a big, long, you know, rebuke because he spilled his milk. That's what a five-year-old child does. And he's going to mess up. He's going to make mistakes. He's going to just do things that a child does. But if you have a 30-year-old child, a son or a daughter, who's still spilling their milk or still won't clean their room or still won't listen to advice from anybody, then you have a little bit of a problem there. God does expect us to be spiritually grown up. Turn to your neighbor and say, grow up. Spiritually. Don't get offended. Like I said last week, if I just go to you and as a pastor and I say, Brother Andrew, grow up, you say, wait a minute, Pastor, that's insulting. But I'm saying, grow up spiritually. It's okay. It's okay for us to say to each other, grow up spiritually, right? Because we're going to bear each other's burdens. We're going to pray for one another. We're going to help each other. Doesn't the Bible say, you that are strong, bear with the infirmities of the weak? Those of you that are mature in the faith, help those who are weaker in the faith. That's what the body of Christ does. We help everybody to grow up. Thank you, Jesus. So that was last week, but this week I want to talk about growing up in love, in mature love. How mature, how grown up is your love? John 15, verses 12 to 14. John 15, verses 12 to 14 is our scripture reading. How mature is your love? How does your love or my love measure up to God's standard? Just like the faith that we have is the faith of God who loved us and gave himself for us. We want to have the love of God in our lives as well. Amen? So the question is, how does our love measure up to God's standard of love, God's kind of love? John 15, verse 12 says, Jesus speaking, this is my commandment. Love each other in the same way that I have loved you. Love one another as I have loved you. So here's the standard that God is asking us to measure ourselves by. With the same kind of love that God loves us, we are to love other people and the world too. Not just our brothers and sisters. It's easy to love the people who love you back. Come on now. But that neighbor who plays that rock music in the middle of the night, come on now. That neighbor that's always cleaning, you know, working on his car, changing the oil, and he's got a loud radio playing out there, and he's got his friends drinking beer and getting drunk outside. That's a little harder to show the love of God at that moment. Somebody say amen. But Jesus says, love one another as I have loved you. There is no greater love than this, for one to lay down his life for his friends. And you are my friends, Jesus say, if you do what I command you. And in John chapter 13, he says, this is a new commandment I give you. Loving as Christ loved us is a commandment. Somebody say amen. So far, I'm right on target with scripture here, right? I got people here checking me, saying amen. Thank you. Thank you, brother. This is a commandment. We don't just love people and love the world and love our neighbor because we feel like doing it. This is how they will know that you are my disciples. This is how the world will know that you are my disciples. If you have the same kind of love that God has, the same kind of love that Jesus had. The story is told about a little boy who had just overcome a rare disease and narrowly escaped with his life. His parents were overjoyed because this boy who was deathly sick had recovered from his illness. But to their dismay, a couple of years later, his little sister came down with the same genetic disorder. And she was dying. Little girl about 3 or 4 years old. And the doctor said, after trying everything that he could think of, he said, we're going to try a blood transfusion from her brother who overcame the sickness and now has the antibodies in his blood. We're going to do a blood transfusion. They asked this little 7-year-old boy, would you be willing to give your blood to your sister? And he looked very, very seriously, and his lips were shaking. And he said, finally, he said, yes, yes, I will. I will do it. I'll be glad to. And so there they were, the two of them, side by side on two separate beds. And this young girl, his little sister, was receiving this life-giving blood from her brother. And you could see that even right after the blood transfusion, her face changed. The color came back into her face. And God be praised, she was recovering, began to recover. While the boy was laying there, he asked the doctor, he says, how much longer do I have? He said, what do you mean, how much longer? He says, well, when am I going to die? He says, you're not going to die. And he said, oh, I thought I had to give my life. He thought giving his blood was actually meaning that he was going to give his life for his sister. And yet he said, yes. Greater love has no man than this, Jesus said, than somebody to lay down their life for their friend. A mature love is a sacrificial love. It's not like the guy who said to his girlfriend, honey, I love you with all my heart. I'll do anything for you. I can't wait to see you. I'm really going crazy waiting till the weekend comes. And then he says, I'll see you Saturday night as long as it doesn't rain. Come on now. Real love is a sacrifice. A mature love is willing to give for the good of somebody else, even at your own personal expense. You know, David said to the man, the Jebusite, he bought the sacrificial field, the threshing floor, that he was going to offer sacrifice. He says, here, you can take it. Take it for free. He was so afraid of King David. He said, take it. You're the king. And David says, no, I will pay the full price. I will not offer sacrifices to God that cost me nothing. Let me tell you, Jesus dying on the cross was not a cheap sacrifice. Come on, don't get me started this morning. God gave the treasure of heaven. He gave the precious blood of the Lamb to ransom us from condemnation, to ransom us from the judgment that we all deserved. It was very personal to God. Can you say amen? When you love somebody, it's got to be personal. It's got to come from your heart, as Pastor Angela was saying before. Jesus was asked to summarize one time by a lawyer, what is the greatest commandment? They were challenging him because they just were intimidated by his teaching. And they thought they would catch him, and they said, well, what do you think the greatest commandment? Because the Pharisees were offended by him, and the religious experts were offended. And Jesus said, this is the great commandment. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. This is the great and the first commandment. And the second is like unto it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. This summarizes everything about our life and our duty. This is the summary of our life and duty. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And that's the hard part. It's not enough to just tip your hat to God, and I'm not making fun of this, you know, but sometimes, you know, we can just get into a routine where we're just going to church, we're putting our offering in, we go home, and there's no change in our life. The world needs to see Jesus. And if there's ever been a time that the world needs to see Jesus, it is right now. Right now. Right now. God is calling from heaven. As I was preparing this message, I felt like I literally could hear God calling from heaven, saying, who will love people in my name? Who is going to show this world, with all of its confusion, with all of its division, with all of its prejudice, with all of its racism, with all of its hatred, who is going to represent me? I felt like I heard God's voice calling. Who will go? Whom can I send? Who will go for me? I'm telling you this morning that nothing less will do to reach this world. You've got to have a dose of the genuine love of God. The world is not going to be saved by cheap substitutes. They've tried that already. Come on now. They've tried being famous. They've tried being rich. They've tried being popular. They tried self-help gurus. They tried losing weight. They tried the latest fads, the latest trends, the latest diet. But what the world needs to see is Jesus. Hallelujah. What the world needs to see is the love of God that is so profound that God would allow his son to hang on a cross, to die for our sins, and to say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I was thinking of that song, People Need the Lord, as I watched the news media daily, and you see riots in the streets, and you see police officers shooting people, and you see mobs shooting police officers. And you know there's a lot of hatred out there. You know there's a lot of division. You hear politicians making fun of each other all day long. And you ask yourself the question, what is the hope for this country? What is the hope for humanity? If you just look at what the politicians are saying or what the media is saying, there's not much hope at all. But I'm telling you, there is hope in Jesus. Hallelujah. He changed the world by his coming. He changed the world by his birth, his life, his ministry, his death on the cross, his burial, and his resurrection power. And the Church of Jesus Christ, hallelujah, has forever changed the world and will continue to change the world. For we are the light of the world. We are the hope of the world. But I believe God is saying, I need people that are going to be deeper in love with me than ever before. A shallow surface love will not do it. And I'm challenging myself with this message, so you don't get upset with me, because these messages are preached to myself first. And I want to tell you something. Just going off track here a little bit, I want to tell you something. There have been many relationships that have failed. There have been many relationships that have been broken, many hearts that have been broken because of the failure to love with the love of God. After 50 years of being in the ministry, I know I don't look that old. Hallelujah. I woke up Saturday and my hair was all black again. I don't know what happened. But I'm telling you and counseling people for years. I can just tell you this in my own marriage. There were times where my marriage was under tremendous strain, where Pastor David and Pastor Angela were not talking to each other. Woo! All right, everybody still love us. Don't judge us, you know. And God would say, your love's not deep enough. Your love will not go beyond your pride. Your love will not go beyond who's right and who's wrong. Is your love bigger than that? Your love is not strong enough to forgive the offense. Jesus said, but I say to you who hear, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. And pray for those who spitefully use you. Wow. To him who strikes you on one cheek, offer the other also. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. For if you love only those who love you, what good is that? Even sinners love those who love them. But I say unto you, love your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return. Then your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High God. For God, your Father, is kind to the unthankful. Be sons of your Father in heaven. Be daughters. You want to be like God? God is kind to the unthankful. He's merciful to those who are evil. He forgives the sinner. He loves them with an everlasting love. Therefore, be merciful, even as your Father in heaven is merciful. We have to go from a place of just keeping rules. Have you ever realized you were convicted and you said, oh boy, I better get back to, you know, keeping it straight, doing it right. But keeping rules eventually will not work. There's got to be a deeper motivation to change than just keeping rules. And the deepest motivation of all is just continually falling in love with Jesus. When you go to the cross, as we did this morning, and you imagine the wondrous cross of Jesus, and you see the Prince of Glory hanging there, God veiled in human flesh, and you see the sorrow and the love of God flowing through the blood of Jesus, how could you not embrace a love so great as this? I'm telling you, my friend, there is no greater love. There is no greater love that God would love a sinner such as I. And I feel like God is speaking from heaven. Who will show this world the deep love of Jesus? And I need more of this myself. So, again, I'm not just preaching at you. I'm challenging myself as well. Every day they pass me by, I can see it in their eyes. Empty people filled with care, headed who knows where. On they go through private pain, living from fear to fear. Even their laughter hides their silent cry. Only Jesus hears. People need the Lord. people need the Lord. At the end of broken dreams, He's the open door. People need the Lord. Say it with me. People need the Lord. When will we realize that people need the Lord? Failure to love. What will your family be missing? What will the world, listen carefully to what I'm saying. What will your family miss out on? What will the world miss out on if we don't take up the mantle of love? If I fail to love, what's going to be lost that I may not even realize is lost? The blessing of a beautiful relationship, the healing of somebody's heart, the salvation of somebody's soul. What is at stake? What is at stake right now? I'm speaking prophetically right now. When you are compelled and captivated by the love of Jesus, it's not an emotion anymore. It's the center of everything you do. It's the heart of what you think. It's the heart of what you say. And it's the heart of what you do. Everything needs to be centered in the love of God. The way I speak, the way I talk to my wife, the way I talk to my children, the way I talk to the bank teller or the drive-through person or the waitress at the restaurant. Am I speaking? Am I showing with my eyes and my smile and my heart the love of Jesus? The love I speak of, Paul says, is slow to lose patience. This kind of love is God love. It looks for a way of being constructive. It is not possessive. You ever hear somebody say, I'm the boss? How many of you know if usually they're bragging about they're the boss, they're feeling very insecure usually. If a person has to go around saying, I'm the boss, then he's probably not the boss because nobody respects them. But the love of God is not possessive, is not anxious to impress, nor does it cherish inflated ideas of its own importance. It sees the importance of others. See, God's love allows you to give your life away and feel like you're not less than. Even after having given your life away, you actually feel better about yourself than when you didn't give your life away. But see, an insecure person, when they give, they feel like, okay, I'm exhausted, I'm emotionally drained. I did this for so-and-so, I did this, I washed and I clothed and I did this and fed. Now I'm drained. Now I need somebody to do for me. And we do. We need to love each other, amen? We need to build up each other. But you got to understand, by giving, you receive. Hallelujah. It's more blessed to give than to receive. And there's some empty places in your life, surprisingly, that are not full because you haven't given them away. You know, somebody said, you know, the riches that you retain are only the riches that you've given away. This love of which I speak has good manners and does not pursue selfish advantage. This is 1 Corinthians 13, as you all know. This is a paraphrase, the Phillips translation. It does not pursue selfish advantage. It is not touchy. Oh, I'm sorry, you know, I'm just being myself. Well, if being yourself is being rude and nasty and proudful, you better change yourself. Come on now, somebody get... I need to hear some amens out here. Have you ever met somebody? Well, I was just being myself. Well, being yourself doesn't mean you should be rude. Love has good manners. It is not touchy. It does not keep a record of evil or gloat over the wickedness of other people. Oh, did you see what they did? They got what they deserve. It doesn't keep a record of evil like a notebook. Okay, you got this against you, you got that mark against you, three strikes and you're out. On the contrary, it is glad when goodness and truth prevail. Somebody say amen. Love is glad when goodness and truth prevails. Love knows no limit to its endurance, no end to its trust, no fading of its hope. It can outlast anything. In fact, love is the one thing that still stands when all else has failed. Woo, hallelujah. So the question as we close this morning is, how deep is your love? How deep is Pastor Dave's love? The mark of a mature believer, the measure that Jesus used, love one another as I have loved you. As I have loved you. Ephesians 3, Paul says, and that you might come to know through personal experience the love of Christ, which far surpasses mere knowledge. Pastor Angela was alluding to this, preaching my message. She was saying that it's got to go beyond the head. And there are a lot of people out there that know a lot of theology, and yet they hate people. That's why you have, you know, certain factions in countries. One faction rises up against another. One religion is trying to exterminate another religion. But that's not Christianity. Somebody say amen. Christianity has forgiveness. Christianity has redemption in it. Christianity has the possibility of a brand new life in Christ. Woo, hallelujah. So Paul says that you might come to know through personal experience the love of Christ. In other words, being in love with him, which far surpasses mere knowledge. Another place he says, knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. Knowledge will puff you up, but love will build you up. Amen? That you may be filled throughout your entire being with all the fullness of God. God is love, and whoever lives in love lives in God, and God lives in him. If you love the way God loves, that means God lives in you, and people can see it. If there's somebody in your life that has offended you, or you keep getting offended, I want to just leave you with this scripture. Since God chose you to be the holy people that he loves, you must clothe yourself with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness. This is Colossians 3:12-15. Colossians 3:12-15. Make allowances for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourself with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your heart. Wow, that's a challenge. Let Christ's peace rule in your heart. And as members of one body, remember, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. So, Pastor, what is the answer if I need more love in my life? And everybody's hand, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand because everybody's hand should be going up and starting with mine. I need more God's love. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts, it says in Romans, by the Holy Spirit who is given to us. Romans chapter 5. The love of God is poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. So you can ask God. You know, in the Gospels, Jesus said, if you earthly fathers and mothers know how to give food and good things to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give what is good to those who ask? So if you need more love, I invite you to go with me. Let's stand together. Go with me to the cross of Jesus and take a few moments to consider how great a love the Father has loved us. How great is this love that we should be called the sons and daughters of God? God, I want you to fill me with more of your love. Fill me with more of your Holy Spirit, Lord. Hallelujah. I want you to think about it. And just lift your face, your countenance towards heaven. And just say this in your heart. Lord, if this world is going to be reached, if I'm going to be a soul winner, it's because I'm full of the love of God. I want to just share again, 60 seconds. I got saved because I met a man when I was 17 years old. Was a camp director, truck driver, not a pastor. A big guy, strong, all kinds of muscles. But I never saw anybody that had such love on his face. as this brother. I finally understood how much God loved me. And in order to give love away, you've got to know that you are loved. Amen. Somebody say amen. You got to know, first of all, how much he loved you and gave himself for you and how precious you are in his eyes. And God is not just trying to use you, abuse you, and toss you on the side. God considers you his treasured possession. Somebody say amen. He loves you. You're a precious vessel, a precious jewel in his family. And you've got to accept his love for you. You've got to forgive yourself. You've got to say, God, I haven't always been the best Christian, but I want to thank you this morning that you love me and you laid down your life for me. You gave your life for me. Would you say that with me right now? God, I haven't always been the best Christian. I haven't always been the best example, but I believe this morning there is no one who has ever loved me like you. I embrace your love today. I ask you to fill me with more of your Holy Spirit, a deeper love for my family, a deeper love for my spouse, my children, my grandchildren. Help me to have a love that does not give up. A love like yours. Amen. Let's sing it, Brother Angel.
Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul.
Would you do that right now? Give him your heart. Give him your soul. Fill me with your love, Lord.
Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul.
Sing it again. Sing it from the top if you want to.
Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. This is my desire. To honor you.
Hallelujah.
Lord, with all my heart, I worship you.
Make it personal. Make it personal right now. Hallelujah. With all that is with me.
All I have within me. I give you praise. All that I adore is in you.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake. Lord, have your way in me.
Lord, may it never be said of us that my family lost out, my neighbors lost out, the world lost an opportunity because my love wasn't deep enough. Help me, Jesus. Help Pastor David to have a mature love. A mature love, a giving love, a sacrificial love.
Give you my heart. I give you my soul.
Let this be your song of dedication to the Lord this morning. Pastor Angela, come up.
Give you my heart. I give you my soul.
One more time. Lord, I give you my heart.
Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul.
Hallelujah. I just got this word. There's somebody right now you're thinking about those of you who are watching at home as well, the Lord just brought somebody to your mind that you need to forgive. You need to forgive. And you can't necessarily do it because they deserve it or because what they did was not wrong. It might have been terribly wrong. But you forgive for Jesus' sake. You forgive in His name because He forgave us. Therefore, we love others with the same love that He loved us. He said, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. Forgive those who have offended you. So we're going to do that. And I'm asking you to do that in your heart. And Pastor Angela is going to pray in that way as she closes. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You know, in all my life, I'm 68 years old, and I've always loved the Lord, but it just seems like in the last few months, my love, appreciation for Him has truly deepened. I don't understand fully, but even a little bit, this just wiped me out, thinking how much He loved me and how unlovely I could be. And that's the source of where all love's going to come from. I don't have it in myself. I don't possess that kind of love in myself. But Lord, I want to be that kind of lover of You. I want to be that kind of lover of Your people who You love so much. Just the way You gave Your life for me when I was so unlovely, Lord. And still, Lord, I'm sure try the patience of those around me. You still love me, Lord. You never leave me or forsake me or abandon me. And Lord, help me to love that way. Help me to love that way, God. Lord, my sometimes spiteful nature or my desire to get even or to turn off, Lord, I need help with it, Lord, honestly. Lord, help us. We thank You that we're not asking for something impossible because the Holy Spirit, as Pastor said, is able to pour that love that we've been given through us like rivers, Lord. And I just got a word, too, that just came. We've got to let the love He's given not be wasted. You know, they say a lake eventually smells and it has bacteria because there's no outlet. It might have had a source at one time, but now it's just stopped. It's just a dead pool. And the Lord is saying to us, don't let what I've poured into you be a lake, be a mighty river, be a river. Let His love pour through us to those that need it, to those that are unlovely. And Lord, we thank You that we're asking according to Your will, and You will help us, Lord. You will help us, Lord. Bless us. Help us to forgive those who've hurt us, Lord. Help us to forgive those who we've even waved at and went and waved back, or those that don't deserve that kind of love because we don't, Lord. But, Lord, we thank You that You give us eyes in the Spirit to see what we don't see in the natural. Hurt people hurt people. Bitter people are bitter and show that kind of love. But forgiven people forgive. Loving people love. Change the course of history through our lives, Lord, because we want to be a tributary, because we want to be a part of the river of Your great love in this world. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. We'll see you Wednesday. And you'll see my makeup running on camera.
It's okay. I think it's made it so far. Amen. Now may the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you now and forevermore. And all God's people said, amen, amen. God bless you. Give somebody a virtual hug and a fist bump. All right. See you Wednesday. God bless you.